One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
It's hot outside.
And you're still wearing long sleeves.
Well, you keep your house like a refrigerator.
I do.
That's why. And I appreciate that. Trust me. I appreciate it more than you know.
Yes.
I just got to say, if you're out there working in the heat.
Good on you.
Thank you. Yes. You're doing the Lord's work. I can't be out in the heat. It's like I'm a flower. I'll just wither. Serious. An unplugged in flower. You know, like a picked flower. But yeah, wow. We go out to our build site and I'm just so thankful for all the hard work that those guys are doing.
Yeah.
I just can't even. And they start so early and they
because
end
it's cooler
so
outside.
Yeah. Anyway,
so when you do see that construction worker standing around, give him a break. Okay?
I know. Exactly.
It is hot.
Be safe when you're driving your car. Slow down. There's a lot of road works going on. It's hot and I'm going to complain about it. That's my right.
Probably every week until
I will.
Like November probably.
Yeah. I got a Bath and Body Works email today about their fall candles and I was like, oh yeah. It's on.
I saw Halloween stuff at a store.
I mean, 4th of July is over. So it's basically Halloween.
Yeah. I said to myself, not yet. Just not yet.
I'm going to go with yet.
I know.
It's time.
I know you're. When I saw it, I said, oh, Candace is excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm praying for that 10-foot skeleton this year, you know? When I was driving over here, Fat Boy Slim was on the radio and I was like, this feels like driving to Lena's house back in the olden days.
Yeah. Oh, the good old days.
It was
days.
A blast from the past.
So here we are talking about the good old days, but y'all today, when this episode airs, Wednesday, July 9th. Candace is turning 40.
It's true.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. I love that little noise. That's so funny.
Yeah, 40. It was funny because at my party, which they threw me a surprise party, but at my party, people were like, how do you feel? And I was like, I have felt 40 for a long time. It's just, I really have.
Yeah.
For a very long time. So what's in a number?
Yeah.
But anyway, what do you have?
Yeah. I mean, we can get into this.
Let's get into it.
The events that happened in Idaho a week ago.
Oh, Lena, I can't believe we didn't even talk about that.
No, yeah. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it. This is very current. So all I can say is that this world is just, it's lost its ever-loving mind.
Yeah.
It was Sunday, if you have not heard. It was Sunday, June 29th on the Canfield Mountain in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. This is a popular recreation area that holds about 25 miles of trails for like hiking and biking. A call came in to dispatch about 1:20 p.m. that day with reports of a fire on the mountain. the firefighters who rushed to the scene, they came upon a man and his vehicle, and they asked the man to move it out of the way. I'm assuming the conversation would have gone something like, hey, there's a fire. We need mm-hmm. to get to this. You're in dangers.
Like, you should have just done that because you saw the fire trucks coming.
Right.
That's procedure. But
so, right.
But we have to stop and ask you. But okay.
So they have this interaction. And shortly into this interaction, the man starts shooting at them.
Insane.
The other firefighters that were still at the trucks took cover behind the fire trucks. The gunfire started around 1:50 p.m. I mean, it seemed like an ambush. They get this call mm-hmm. at 1:20, and here it is 30 minutes later, and they're getting shot at.
Yeah.
Three firefighters were hit. Battalion Chief Frank Harwood of Kootenai County Fire and Rescue, and Battalion Chief John Morrison of Coeur d'Alene Fire and Rescue. Both of these firefighters were pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital. The third one hit was Dave Tisdall, and he was severely wounded. As Dave was lying there, not able to move, he was able to call out to his team on the radio and inform them of the danger that they were approaching.
Oh my gosh.
From what I understand, the man shot the three men and then ran into the forest and climbed in the trees and continued shooting.
Jeez.
When I first heard the reporting about what was going on, they were saying that there might be two shooters because the shots were coming from different places. But this was speculation. Did you hear anything about all this?
I mean, I heard about it, of course. I didn't hear many details coming out about it.
And that's one reason I wanted to talk about it, because it was only talked about for a couple days, and then I haven't seen any other report, and I feel like we need to talk about these victims.
Yeah.
So the sheriff ordered residents to take shelter around the area. Now, the fire was on the mountain. There weren't any homes that were being threatened. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were homes, like I think he said, on the west end, but...
Was it in the grass or in the bushes?
In the trees.
Oh, in the trees. Okay.
Grass and trees, yeah. I'm not sure if there were any trails that were affected by it, but the homes were away from it, so they were... certain that the homes weren't going to be affected, but they did tell them to take shelter just in case.
Right. Because we know how quickly it spreads.
Fires, right. Two helicopters flew overhead armed with snipers. A vehicle was found by deputies, the same vehicle that the firefighters approached to ask to move. The deputies had actually pushed the vehicle off of the side of the road into an embankment so that they in their mind, they're thinking this man could get back to his vehicle and flee.
Right.
So they're like, we're going to just make that not available.
Good thinking.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Also good thinking to the guy who was hit on the ground radioing and warning people. Like, I'm pretty sure I'd just be there bleeding going, ouch. And he was like, I got to warn everybody.
That's his first thought.
That's amazing.
I'll talk about that in here in a little bit. That is so impressive. They identified who the vehicle belonged to, and that was a 20-year-old named Wes Raleigh. The FBI used cell phone data to track him.
Oh.
So I guess they got his name, figured out his cell phone number, and start pinging where he's at.
Wow.
Using this cell phone data, authorities located the suspect, and they found his lifeless body near the scene around 3:15 p.m. On his person, he had a flint fire starter and a shotgun, obviously the gun he had been using to shoot everybody. But I haven't found a definitive report informing whether he took his own life or if he was shot by the authorities that were firing back at him. Mm-hmm. But I think the answer is he shot himself.
That makes sense, because if they had to ping his phone to find him,
right,
it stands to reason that they...
There was no movement.
Right, exactly. Like, they didn't shoot and he, like, fell out of a tree. It just, he probably did it.
Yeah.
Coward.
Exactly. It was determined that the suspect acted alone, and there was no evidence confirming that there actually was a second shooter. Mm-hmm. The Kootenai County Sheriff's Office in Idaho held a press conference soon after the devastating event. And Sheriff Robert Norris told the community that Wes Raleigh was born May 1st of 2005.
What a baby.
I know.
Gosh.
He had lived in California and in Arizona with his mother and his stepfather. And then when he graduated, he moved to Idaho in 2024. He had only had 5 interactions with police. Like, there was no criminal history.
Okay. When you say interactions.
So yeah, those interactions was like due ticket. To like trespassing.
Oh,
so his car was parked in front of a person's home and they wanted him to move. Or his car was parked in front of a business for too long and they called in police and had him move it.
That's a bit strange, I think.
Well, so the idea was that witnesses had said that it appeared that he was living out of his vehicle.
Oh, okay.
And
there you go.
Yeah. And so there were like a couple of other things where people had called for welfare checks on him.
Okay.
So nothing major.
But nothing like.
No criminal.
Yeah. Violent.
Right. So, of course, police looked at his social media and found some disturbing posts on Wes's social media account. And those posts have since been removed. And I'm not sure if there was a caption, but in this conference, the sheriff held up the picture that was already taken down. He's like, this is mm-hmm. what was on there. And it was a picture of him all decked out in camo. His face was blacked out with face paint. And he added the song Hunter by Bjork.
Oh, no.
And so I don't know. I've never heard of that. I've heard of this. It's, yeah.
That's how I think it goes.
It is. And I only know that because I listened to it to figure out. I've never heard it before. I've heard of the person, the singer, but yeah. So the song says, if you want to know, part of it says, I'm going hunting. I'm the hunter. I'll bring back the goods, but I don't know when. You left me on my own to complete the mission. Now I'm leaving it all behind. I'm going hunting. I'm the hunter.
Ooh.
So to me, that's not really disturbing in and of itself. Like if you're just looking at it, you're like, okay, he's in camo. He's going hunting. Right.
But on reflection, what he did, he was obviously planning something.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, we can say it's disturbing mm-hmm. looking at it from this side. Sheriff Norris said that they had information that Wes grew up in a arborist family.
All right.
So when he graduated and he moved to Idaho, it was to live and work with his dad in his tree business.
Okay.
But apparently it wasn't working out because Wes ended up not having a whole lot of communication with his father shortly after moving to Idaho. I don't know if he
He just thought he was going to get a job. And I mean, that's hard work.
It is.
Like, that's hard work.
It is. So maybe he tried to do the work. It didn't work out. I don't know all of the dynamics, mm-hmm. but that's what I've been told in these reports is he moved here to do that with his dad and it didn't work out.
Okay. So, well, that's some tough work.
Yeah.
And if he thought he was just going to work for dad's company and, you know.
Well, and so, yeah, you see here, he's got experience climbing trees. He's right. in the forest. Now it's interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting.
So yes, he was living out of his vehicle, and his former roommate, TJ, said that Wes had shaved off all of his long hair, like he had long hair to his shoulders,
mm-hmm.
and he just started kind of going downhill. They lived together for about 6 months in Sandpoint, Idaho, until Wes moved out in January of this year. TJ said that his apartment cameras caught Wes throwing gang signs at them.
Oh. Why? Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I don't know. He did call police and reported it to them at the time.
Well, good. Yeah. At least there's that.
The landlord at one time called TJ one morning because neighbors reported that Wes's vehicle had been left running for about 12 hours overnight.
Oh my gosh.
The explanation was that he just fell asleep in his room and said he forgot about the vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, I know some scatterbrained people that might... That well, might do that.
So I've done that before, but my car's a hybrid.
Right.
So if I don't press the button and put my foot on the brake, it won't turn off. So I've only caught that because I was like listening to something in my headphones and it was connecting to my car.
Oh.
So it wouldn't, it was like, it showed on my phone that my headphones were connected to my car and not my phone. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
And I realized I did that. But if you have an engine, mm-hmm. that just seems a little less likely that you would do that out of, you know, accident.
Yeah. I mean, hey, maybe he was tired.
Yeah.
I don't know what he did all day, but he just got out of his car. He got out of his car, went in, went to sleep, forgot about it. It's not, that's not a big deal to me, but you know,
but altogether,
like, it's painting a picture.
Exactly. And I think that's why a lot of people don't see these things as red flags.
Yes.
Because on their face, they just seem like, oh, he shaved his head.
Mm-hmm.
How weird. Oh, he left his car running. But I mean, I think it's great that the roommate called police at one point.
Right.
Because most people wouldn't.
Yeah.
They would just be like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. And so that's another reason why I wanted to talk about this case is because, like, we need to be reminded to watch for the signs.
Absolutely.
Other people that knew Wes said that he was very vocal about his beliefs. And, you know, people on social media have just been blasting pictures that they've gotten off of like Facebook where his mom and him were holding guns, and they've made it just so political. I can't stand it. But
when you say he was outspoken about his beliefs, mm-hmm. like political beliefs,
a lot of it was political. Yeah. Like the border crisis and that kind of thing.
So that totally makes sense to ambush
your
people. if that's where you're going with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
So Wes's grandfather said that Wes had wanted to be a firefighter and that he actually really respected law enforcement. He loved firefighters. It didn't make sense why he was shooting at them. So an idea of the motive is that maybe Wes had applied for something in that career path and got rejected. Could it have been retaliation to that? Was it that he was just down on his luck and he lost hope in life? Did he have a mental break? These are all questions mm-hmm. that we're all questioning. So investigators said that they plan on inspecting his vehicle to try to get more answers. Maybe there's something in there that would help them figure out his psychology. Maybe we'll get an update. We have not in the last week.
That's surprising. I feel like when things like this happen, we learn so much mm-hmm. in the first 24 hours.
Yeah.
Like they've already stripped the person's place of residence. They've already combed through everything and things come out.
Yeah. And that's, like I said, another reason why I want to talk about this, because everything else, like I feel like we talk about everything else.
And you know the details.
There was only like 2 days worth of news reports on this. And not that I want to keep on about, you know, the tragic events, but
we move on. Like it's a news cycle and then we move on to the next thing and it's like,
yeah, but oh, what
that was terrible.
I need answers, guys.
I know.
So the fire grew to 26 acres.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The planes flew overhead to spray water over the fire and aid the work that was being done on the ground. Firefighters made 27 containment areas throughout the area. So, like I said earlier, no structures were damaged and no other casualties happened, thank God. There were people on the mountain that were later able to exit safely.
Okay.
Just hours after the tragic event, people along with the fellow firefighters gathered and lined up along Interstate 90 holding American flags to pay their respects to the two fallen firefighters.
Jesus. I mean, you say goodbye to your husband, he goes off to work, mm-hmm. and you think the worst that could happen is he gets stuck in a burning building.
Right.
Not that he's ambushed
right.
and murdered.
Yeah.
God almighty.
I mean, we think that of police officers, of course. Oh, yeah. They're putting themselves in. You don't think of, I mean, there's just so many dangers when it comes to being a first responder.
I know.
And we don't understand that because we're not doing it. And right. they're keeping us safe where we don't have to worry about exactly. that stuff. That's why this is so important to me, because we have brothers in law enforcement and firefighting. And yeah, I cried a few times writing this.
I know it's hard to think about. I'm thankful that my brother is not on the streets working as a police officer anymore. When he was, I was very mm-hmm. anxious about it. But, it's really hard when you have someone that's constantly running out the door and
you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And we've talked about this before, but like, they don't always know what they're getting into. Like they have an idea, mm-hmm. but when they arrive on scene, it's not until they get there that they know
mm-hmm.
or they see what's unfolding.
Right.
So,
and they plan, they have meetings, they have practices where they plan for all kinds of possibilities of what mm-hmm. might happen, but you just never know. Things are a surprise. But yes, so as the two fallen firefighters' bodies were being taken to the medical examiner's office in Spokane, Washington, about 35 miles from Coeur d'Alene, is when they lined up on the road Aww. And just saluted, held flags. And I just thought that was just so thoughtful and heartfelt. Is. So we're to my main point of the story, where I want to talk about the amazing heroes of this story.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
42-year-old Frank Harwood had been with the Kootenai County Fire Department for 17 years. He was married and had two children. He was born in Neenah, Wisconsin, and graduated at Neenah High School in 2001, where he played on the football team. He was a veteran of the Army National Guard, serving as a combat engineer, and served in Iraq. Friends and colleagues have spoken out on social media and news reports saying that he was a leader in the organization and just an exceptional person. He did an amazing job. He was well-respected. He was an awesome father, husband, brother, and son, and family man. He was the type of guy that would remain calm during chaos and loved serving others, and he loved his family.
Oh, God.
52-year-old John Morrison was married with a son. He was dedicated to his family. His family life meant everything to him. He was a great father. He started his career with the Coeur d'Alene Fire Department in 1996 and had also worked as a paramedic. He held multiple ranks, including firefighter, engineer, captain, and battalion chief. A colleague stated, John was a big man, big physically and just big in heart.
Aww.
And just in general, his personality was charismatic and contagious. His crew sat around a table and talked about the kind of man that John was. He was known for his larger-than-life personality, but firefighters say that they'll miss his ability to keep conversations flowing.
Aww.
The hard part is not seeing him there and not being able to talk to him. He had a presence that, when times were stressful, it could put you at ease.
Aww.
He was just kind and compassionate.
Don't you love people like that? Because I have bad anxiety, mm-hmm. and sometimes I don't just want to be in the room with other people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's hard for me to just sit there.
Yeah.
And there are certain people that make you feel at ease,
mm-hmm.
just because they make you feel at ease.
Right.
And they're wonderful and they've got this amazing demeanor, and I think that's such a gift.
It really is. And when they talk about him, he could just have a conversation with anybody. Like, I've always envied people like that, because I'm not great at small talk, and right. I wish I could just talk and have a conversation and it just flow.
Right.
But yeah, it is a gift to be able to just make people feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And just hearing about these two men make me wonder, like, what am I doing with my life?
I mean, it sounds like they were just sitting on the couch being couch potatoes. I just, like, you're right. It's like, what am I doing?
Yeah. I mean, they served their country. They served their families, their communities. And
amazing.
They did it
what
well.
What a great loss. Like, we hear about these news stories, oh, two people died, and you're like, mm-hmm. oh, crap, that sucks. But, oh, thank goodness nobody died from the fire or whatever. But mm-hmm. what a loss.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Everything that they meant to everybody. It's just...
Yeah. One more victim, 47-year-old Dave Tisdall, is a Coeur d'Alene Fire Department fire engineer. He sustained a gunshot to the back with severe chest and spinal trauma.
Oh my gosh.
And he was taken to the hospital in critical condition. His left lung. Okay, listen to this. Mm. His left lung collapsed. His clavicle was damaged.
Oof.
Several ribs were shattered.
I'll bet.
And he had spinal swelling. And to think, like we talked about earlier, as he's suffering through these major injuries, he had the wherewithal to alert his crew and ultimately save their lives.
That's unbelievable.
Dave had three different surgeries and is now off of the ventilator and able to talk. He is experiencing difficulty feeling his lower half, anything from the chest down, can't move. But he is making progress, and he remains in the intensive care unit in stable condition. He has a long recovery ahead. A Facebook post stated that Dave is among the best and kindest of men. He's always there to help. He's married with three children, and they are all by his side. He has a huge support system. Mm-hmm. You know, as much as he loves, he is loved. Mm-hmm. So, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, known for supporting first responders and military families, they organize things like memorial 5K events across the country, raising money. Frank Harwood actually recently participated in one of their events, running in a full firefighting gear.
No way. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Weighing more than 60 pounds.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I mean, these guys are so tough.
Right. He must have the endurance of a Greek god.
The foundation's Fallen First Responder Home program announced that they plan to pay off the mortgages of these victims to help their families.
Oh, gosh. What a blessing.
I know.
Oh, man.
And if you want to donate to help these families, you can give to the Red and Blue Foundation. And I will add the links to the show notes. There's a link for each victim and then just a one link for overall. So if you want to give and can or whatever, the links will be there.
Even like if it's $5. I mean, I think a lot of times we think, oh, I can't afford to donate. Like my $5 isn't going to make a difference. But if 70 of you.
Yeah.
Or if 170 of you donate $5, I mean, it can make an impact.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And so the tragic events that have gone on this within the last week, you know, with the flooding in Texas, they're getting so much help and fundraising. And so I didn't want these firefighters' families to be left out. I'm sure there's been a lot donated already, but.
Right. But let's not forget.
Let's not forget.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's tough because it's like we can't catch our breath from one thing to the next.
Yeah.
And
I've seen a lot of people questioning, you know, why things like this have to happen. And, you know, bad things happen all the time. We don't have an answer for it most of the time. But what I would challenge everyone to do is just, I mean, we were created to serve and help others and love. We are created to love each other. And so if we just be a light and love and serve and help, I think that'll just make the world a better place.
Yeah. And if half of us could just be and not cause problems, that would help too.
Yeah.
Just love. Chill.
Yeah. Be nice. Be kind.
Wow.
You don't have to be as amazing as Frank, John, and Dave, but.
I mean, nobody's amazing as them.
Yeah. Right. So.
I just cannot imagine. It's just, it is senseless. Mm. And I'm having deja vu as you're describing this guy because I'm like 20s. Starts doing weird crap.
Mm-hmm.
People are noticing. And then he shoots up whatever. Or he climbs a building and tries to assassinate Donald Trump.
Right.
Or, you know, it's just like, it's how many times do we hear this?
Yeah.
And it's always this guy that's not really connected with his family. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really have friends. Mm-hmm. Parents. Okay. I know that your kid's grown.
Mm-hmm.
But your job doesn't necessarily stop. If anything, it gets more important.
Right.
When they're out on their own, making their own decisions.
Yeah. And that's not to blame the parents. Both of his parents, his mother and his father, both, and his grandfather, they all posted on social media expressing their condolences to the firefighters and their families. Mm-hmm. expressing their confusion on how he got here.
Right.
So I feel for them too. They lost their son.
Yeah, it's really sad.
In a very sad way. But I wanted to talk about it. It's close to my heart.
I didn't know much about it. Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was in the news for a couple of days and then it kind of, kind of moved on.
Yeah.
I think also the Brian Koberger thing, that happened, his plea deal thing, didn't that happen right after?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so
all these years we've been waiting to have an answer and then we get an answer and then it's gone. Like,
it's just, I feel totally ripped. We can talk about that another time.
But, yeah.
My summer's wide open now. So.
Okay.
Well, rest in peace to these families.
Yeah.
I just cannot imagine. And you know, you don't think about people. Like, I have a friend who I used to work with who lost her husband last year. And you don't think about how is she gonna have, like, how can she do it all and pay for it all? Like, when you have a two income household and, like, that is such a burden, the financial part. So it's amazing that that's just one less thing they have to worry about in all of this navigating through the rest of it. Thank you for telling their stories, because this is not your typical true crime story. Doesn't feel like it would really make the news or make a splash.
Yeah.
So thank you for talking about them.
Yeah. And I would like to also thank all the first responders in our world. It's not an easy job.
Yes. Yeah, see, and they're out in the heat in 60 pounds worth of gear.
Yeah.
And they're in the
heat. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for all of your service. Thank you if you're a family of a first responder who sits at home clenching their butt cheeks every day that their loved one walks out the door. Because that's so hard. Someone has to do it. And being a wife or a husband to a first responder, that's a sacrifice in and of itself.
For sure. It's a big job.
So thank you guys. And thank you, Lena. And that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Okay, let's do it.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. Get connected with us by becoming a free member on our Patreon. Or for just $5 a month, you'll have access to bonus episodes, discussion groups, and much more. If you can't afford $5 a month, we get it. Inflation, am I right? Please consider leaving us a positive review and rating wherever you listen.
And don't forget merch. Support our podcast and show the love by sporting t-shirts with our latest designs, or grab an evidence bag to keep the chain of custody for all your valuables. Don't forget to follow our show on your favorite streaming app so you never miss an episode, and get photos and updates on our Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or our Cousins on Crime Facebook page. Have a case suggestion? Email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Do you love true crime podcasts and true crime documentaries?
If so, you gotta check out our podcast, True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everybody's watching.
We say everything you're thinking and probably screaming at your TV.
We've been at the top of the podcast charts for almost 9 years, and we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone's talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.